Hey guys, I got a story. I was an associate in the mafia and I just got married. And I was broke. Me and my wife, Deb, we got an apartment. Her aunt moved out of this apartment on 61st Street and Bay Parkway. And I had the upstairs apartment. The landlord came to me. He had the downstairs apartment with the backyard, the basement, and his garage. And he was moving to California and got to like me. And he said, do you want this apartment? I said, yeah, I would love it. The only thing is I was already back rent 2 months, 3 months. I was always behind. I was surprised he even asked me that. So I went out, I borrowed some money, got the rent paid up to date, and he moved. Again, the rent was a little higher, and I was in debt again, 2 months. And my wife is telling me, it's so embarrassing. We got to see if we could borrow some money and pay this rent, keep it up to date. So I said, I know, but I mean, I don't have the money. He understands. I mean, it's not a big deal. He knows I'll pay him. So one day I get a call from a friend of mine. He owned a bar on Bath Avenue. They called him Patty Crooked Neck. He had something with his neck that his neck was always to the side. That was his nickname. So he called me up. He says, hey, Sammy, I need you, bro. I need a favor, bro. I need you. I liked the guy. I knew his kids. He used to bring the kids to the bar on a Sunday. And I said, I'll be right down. You want me to bring my friend? He knew what that meant. No. It's not that kind of problem, Sammy. If you could come down, I really need you. So I jumped in the car. I took off and I went to the bar. I went inside. Seemed like he was really nervous. I said, what's the matter, bro? He said, I just got word from the local cops I got, you know, who are friends of his, that the DEA is looking into me and they may come down and raid me. So I got 800 pounds in the back. Could you do me a favor and take this and hide it until this investigation is over? So I said, okay, I think I could do that. We loaded up my car, the entire trunk. It was actually hard to close the trunk. The entire back seat, way above the windows. Trying to put blankets on it so if a cop looked in, it didn't look like it was pot or something. I did the whole front seat from top to bottom again. I got it to my house and I went in the garage and I put the 800 pounds of pot in my garage. The smell was enormous. My wife had come by. You want to eat? What are you doing? I said, listen, I don't want to eat. I'm doing something. I'm busy. Don't come down. But nosy wife, she came down. She smelt it from the sidewalk coming into the alley. She says, I smell marijuana. You have marijuana? I said, yeah, I got a few pounds. A few pounds. Half the garage was full. A lot of pot. Now, back then, they would sell what they called a nickel bag. Small little brown envelope filled with pot. It was $5. I broke it down that this 800 pounds in nickel bags, not trying to get rid of it, but nickel bags would bring back about $300,000. Again, I was that broke. It had me thinking. If something happened to Patty Crooked Neck, nobody knows I have this pot. A swift bullet in his head would make me basically back then, $300,000, a rich man. I couldn't pay the rent to a rich man. I'm trying to be honest, I did think about it. I gave it a thought. I didn't want to hurt him. I obviously didn't want to kill him. But I thought about it. I did have a good relationship with him as a friend. Wasn't one of my close friends, but he was a good guy and a friend. And right away, the thought of his kids coming in, I just couldn't do it. I changed my mind. I can't do it. Some people will ask why. I would have money. I can never look at myself in the mirror again. And if it ever came out, who would ever trust me? So I didn't do it. I sat with it for about 3 days, maybe a little bit longer. Called me up. They investigated. They searched the whole place. While I was gone, he cleaned the place. He sprayed it with all kinds of stuff. So he got through the investigation. Somebody had said he was dealing pot from there. That's what sparked the investigation. So I pulled the car back in there and I loaded the car up. And I brought it back. It's not even a mile and a half away. I got there and we unloaded it. He grabbed me, hugged me, kissed me. Thank you so much. I hugged him. I didn't even pay the back rent. I said to myself, you're a fool. You should have took a pound. He would have never even noticed it. And at least you could have paid your rent. But I didn't. I didn't even take a seed. Nothing. 2 days later, he called me again. Sammy, come down by the bar. I went by the bar, sat down, his kids were there. They come running over to me. They got to know me. Come running over. The little boy, I rubbed his head. And he says, here, sit over here. Give Sammy a drink. I put a few dollars on. No, no, no. You could never pay in here again. And he slid an envelope over to me. He gave me $5,000. Wasn't a lot. It was a lot back then. The 2-3 months I was in a hole, that cleared up the rent, and then some. 5,000 was a number back then. Probably, I'm going back so far, $5,000, maybe like 40 or 50,000 now, or whatever the number is. I don't know. The strangest feeling came over me. I felt so good. This kid sat on my lap while I was drinking at the bar. They were joking, and there was chips. They brought the chips down. The kid was having the kid sit on my lap. And after I did that, I had such a good feeling about myself. I said to myself, it takes a man's man to do what the fuck you did. It takes nothing to pull a trigger. That's not a man's man. These things are important in your life. Your father, when you were young, was overpaid by the bank, $500. I told this story once. He called up the bank to give the money back. I said, Dad, the bank's got a ton of money. They made a mistake. Let's keep it. He said, the girl waits on me all the time, takes care of me. They'll think she stole it or she made a mistake. She'll lose her job. It stuck with me how honorable he was. Now, he was broke. Greaseball off the boat. We were always broke. 500 was, again, another number like it is now. It was something. But he gave it back. I said to myself, I got a little bit of my father in me. I did the same thing. Not with $500, but with $300,000. Maybe I got a lot of him in me. And I felt good remembering my father and knowing what I did. I became a different kind of a gangster when I became a gangster. I always had those morals and scruples about me. Never to betray a partner, never to do certain things, never hold back money to beat your partner or beat somebody or make a deal or do something behind his back. So that's the story of Patty Crooked Neck. I went back there many times to drink, to have a chat with him. He wasn't a mafia guy. He owned a bar, semi-legitimate. He dabbled with things, pot, but no murders, no gangster shit. But I liked him. Later on, I became a little more powerful. Even this is before I got made. And one day, talking to him in the bar, I told him, if you're ever in trouble with anybody, pushes on you, people break balls or something, give me a holler. He said, I would, Sammy. You're the most honorable guy in the world. I said, I want to tell you something, because you just said that. I'm not as honorable as you think. I thought about keeping the pot because I was broke. All I had to do was shoot you in the head. I think I could do that easily. But you're a good man. You got great kids. You never lied to me. You always been a friend. And I didn't do it. He said, you're not that kind of gangster. That's why I called you. I knew you would never do that. And I was right. I should have gave you more than the $5,000. I said, that was perfect, what you did. And you put me to the test. I appreciate that more than anything, more than money. You made me more of a man. I passed the test because of you. And that's why I'm telling you, if anybody fucks with you, call me. And I left. I really don't know much more about Patty after that. I saw him a couple of times and waved from the car. But I don't know. That whole story just motivated me that I went on and I became this different kind of a gangster. He's one of the reasons. My father, Shorty, Spiro, Tato Arello. So many things in my life molded me. And I think back about it now. And I'm telling you. Now, I wanted to tell you that I really was going to kill him. Thought about it. And you may think, well, he's a little bit of a monster. He's a gangster. I never want to give him $300,000. He's liable to kill me. No. That wouldn't happen. And that's why I'm telling you this story. So if you got 300,000, give me it. And I'll give it back someday. All right. Adios.